The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from beautiful Burbank, California, this is the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken Knapsack for another edition of your show of shows. Wait, that was a classic show. We can't call it that. Of the interview show. That's pretty generic. Hey, it's the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken. How about that? We have a special guest coming up. Another one of those long in the works guests. I've had her husband on, so it only seems right. I probably should have had her on first. I think she's more deserving of the honor. We're going to get to her in a second, but I have to remind you that today's episode of the Knapsack Files is brought to you in part by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of classes in design, business, technology, and more. They're accessible and approachable with classes taught by real-world practitioners. And you know what? I'm not just telling you about this. I actually use Skillshare, having watched classes for freelancers and social media strategies and more. Try them out. They're offering a 2-month free trial using the promo code TheKnapsackFiles2MO. The Knapsack Files number 2MO when you sign out. Skillshare.com. Try out Skillshare. Your brain will thank you. All right. Here she is, Jen Sturger. Jen Sturger Decker.
Sturger Decker. Yeah, I haven't gone and gotten my name legally changed yet, but it happened on Twitter, so like that counts, right?
That's probably more legally binding.
Is that government recognized?
It is now. Twitter gets you jobs, or Twitter loses you jobs, right? So why not it be held up in court? It's a lot of paperwork to change the name, though.
So much. And Cody gives me so much shit for it. Oh, wait, am I allowed to cuss on this?
My mom will say, well, she said some cuss words, but it's okay.
Okay.
And my mom's a sweetheart. And I've heard my mom cuss now, too.
So. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I heard Rachel Cushing cuss recently.
That's a shocker.
I was like, what? What just happened? I like did a double take. It's really might be one of my favorite. I need a reaction gif of that.
Or do like a reaction video to her cussing.
Yes.
Because she's such a sweetheart. Cody gives you crap for not changing the name.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know what? He doesn't have to deal with, have you been to the DMV? I mean, have you been to try to change your name? Anything government related, it just means you're wasting 3 to 4 hours of your life in any day. Like you have to suit up for that.
You have to ramp up. You have to be like, I'm losing next Wednesday.
And I'm going
to
be angry.
Yeah.
And like, I'll try to make jokes about it the entire time I'm there, but they're like under my breath and like kind of just.
Look, I'm with you. I wouldn't want any woman to have to take my last name, Knapsack. I mean, I love the name. There's a history to it, but I wouldn't force that on anyone, right?
You know what's crazy is Decker sounds pretty similar to Sturger. Like, it's still like two syllables, ER at the end. It's a good name.
Yeah. It's a good name for a relief pitcher with a knuckleball.
Exactly. don't get him started on that. Cody's been on the Phantoms yell, which is basically like, you're not hurt, but we don't have room to play you right now.
Yeah.
So it's been a little frustrating because people text me all the time. So is this like a real DL?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's never a real DL.
It's a
Cody's arm could be hanging by threads and he would still want his at bat. Oh, yeah.
So he's on the worked DL, not the shoot DL.
Oh, yes.
As it is.
Oh, but yeah. So, it's a work. So, for sure.
This name change, I'm so curious about it because, you got a good last name too, right? So,
it comes with a lot of baggage. Comes at this with point. You know what I mean? There's goods and there's bads.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a thing. There's pros and there's cons.
Goods and bads.
There's goods and bads.
I'm going with goods and bads.
And I'm smart, guys.
You're smart.
No, so there's pros and cons with my last name.
It's got
some recognition.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, it does,
And it is your name.
You're
proud regardless, but all right, so you have a little opportunity maybe to clear some palates, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Switch things up a little bit.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, Cody, you get that? It's not out of respect for you, Cody.
Yeah, exactly.
He's such a good dude.
He really is.
If you guys are just listening, Cody Decker is, of course, Jen's husband, who was a previous guest here in the Knapsack Files and a professional ball player despite the phantom knee injury. Decker, what? Come here. You're hurt. No, I'm not. You're hurt. That's the realities of professional baseball.
It really is.
It is politics in every world and none more than, I think, baseball.
Exactly. It's exactly like professional wrestling.
It is like professional wrestling. And that's
where all my worlds come together.
That's where it is. And I
literally think about it. Showdown. Wrestling base.
Wrestling background.
Wrestling base.
Yeah. Yeah.
My husband's phantom injuries. Also wrestling base.
And his love of wrestling. But you.
Oh, my God. I can't. I mean, I go to sleep hearing the guys from What Culture. And I'm just like, please turn that off. Do you want to have sex?
Here's the 10 WWE wrestlers you never knew were boxers.
Exactly. You know? And you never gave a shit. Yes.
Here's 10 cameos you never saw coming. What culture?
And I watch What Culture every day, too. You love professional
or
wrestling.
Or being the elite. Like, yeah. That's what I got. But I love being the elite because it's actually comedic. They do a really good job with that.
Some of the old What Culture iteration, Simon I like, too. But, you know, they changed for good reason, some of the staff over there. But they're funny as well. You love professional wrestling, though. This is in your blood. You've been in the ring. You've been hurt in the ring.
Yeah.
I want to start there because you do have a big event coming up. You're part of All In.
I am All In.
You are All In.
Yeah.
And for those who don't
know. I'm All In for All In and I'm All In for StarCast.
StarCast. Tell us a little bit about that because I do want people, because it's coming up soon, September 1st.
Yes.
You can watch it on Fight Network and WGN.
They're splitting it between the two. Some of it's going to be on WGN. I think even StarCast is going to be broadcast on Fight.
Okay.
So I'll be doing the presser, the press conference and the weigh-in.
I love that.
I hope I don't have to weigh in.
No. Only Cody Rhodes has to weigh in.
Exactly. So we'll be doing the presser and the weigh-in on Friday night. It's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'm pretty stoked.
These
guys are so much fun to work with, and they're doing something that's never been done before.
Yeah, you know, I know this isn't the Knapsack Files Pro Wrestling Edition, but we talk about it often here. People know it's close to my heart. This is something this group of guys and gals are putting together, this show, All In. This is the second one, right?
This is
the first one?
Yeah,
what am I thinking of? Oh, I'm thinking of the
San Francisco show, probably.
Yes.
But then New Japan World. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And all the stuff going on. So, but this, there's a lot of heat on this. And in the wrestling world, WWE is the Kleenex. Everything else is the tissue.
Yeah.
It's just the way it will be and always. But there is some heat on what these guys are doing. And the fan support is growing for events like this.
Absolutely. And I think they were even nervous when, because I did their first press conference that they did back in, was it May or something like that?
Yeah, that's
what
I'm thinking
of. I did their original press conference, and you can just tell, like, their passion for what they do is so real, you know? And I mean, they're fun to be around. They're complete professionals, but they keep it fun and they keep it loose. And what they're doing is so innovative and so different. And, it's loosely scripted. It's keep it fun, you know. The less suits, the better, you know. And I feel like it's very like grassroots style. Everything that they do, from even the being the elite stuff.
Yeah.
If you don't watch it, I think they're at 100-something episodes now. And being the elite is kind of how they put out the storylines behind all the matches that are going on with Ring of Honor and the other, you know, different things that they do. So.
Who's the core group of the guys for the people listening? Cody Rhodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Young Bucks. Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Who are relatively local. Hesperia guys, I do believe.
They're living out in Barstow.
Barstow.
Birdie,
their cousin Tab Jackson used to wrestle for us back in MBW.
Yeah.
It still works. And who else?
Hangman Adam Page.
Gotcha.
Marty Scurll.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know them as well.
And Flip Gordon's trying his hardest.
And is my old buddy
to be all in.
Is Kazarian still on the? He's wrestling, right, Frankie? I think he is. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't either.
He and Chris Daniels. So it's that group of guys and gals putting this stuff together. But
Tessa Blanchard,
Tessa, daughter of Tully.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some legacy there.
That's got to be hard.
That's tremendously hard. In wrestling, there is a time honored second and third generation, sometimes now fourth generation legacy, but you're still up against.
Yeah, like Charlotte Flair will always be Ric Flair's daughter.
Right. I mean, because it's Flair, but
it's Flair.
And to even get to a level where you are known
for
somewhat,
your own skill set. Yeah, for your own skill set versus just your name. And I think Tessa, I asked her about that, you know, and she said that she feels that she's honored to have her name, you know, and obviously it's a big part of, you know, her history with wrestling. She also is excited that she is being recognized for what she's actually doing in the ring.
Yeah, because it's not easier. You know what I mean?
No.
You show up in a locker room, you're like, hi, I'm a last name people know. It's almost like more of a target.
Of course.
And especially as a female worker in this business, already tough. It's better.
Because everyone wants to point to nepotism as why you got your job or why you get ahead. And sometimes it's just good old-fashioned hard work.
Yeah.
Not to say that nepotism doesn't exist. I went to Florida State. I mean, the Bowden era showed us that it was alive and well.
It's alive
you know?
And well. Yeah, and it might it's kind of like stand-up comedy, something you're affiliated as well, and trolling around those worlds. Where
trolling is the actual
trolling
word.
Is right. You might get on stage for whatever reason, whatever you might have done before, whatever. But you have to be funny to keep going on there. Yeah. Generally,
100%.
It's that old Colin Quinn saying. It's kind of the justice thing. But going to wrestling, when did you really start getting into the wild world of professional wrestling?
I mean, I've loved it since I was a kid. You know, they had Saturday mornings when we were growing mm-hmm. up. Back in, you know, Hulk Hogan was still wrestling, things
the,
like that.
The wrestling challenge.
Exactly.
Era.
I watched that every Saturday morning, you know, when USA Network with cartoons and stuff. I think Smurfs led into it. And
good lead up to wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Smurfs, the Snorks, and then
Gargamel, Vince McMahon, yes. one of the same.
So yeah, I started then, and then I kind of lost touch of it because I got after school activities, and I started doing things on Saturday mornings. I think I took up bowling.
Yeah, bowling.
So, yeah.
Whole episode.
Shut up. And then I think it was I picked it back up in high school.
Yeah, that's about
and
the time.
I was,
yeah.
Yep. And I just kind of got back into it, and it was back when. You know, Tori was wrestling, Stacy Keibler. So it was a much different tone of wrestling. It was sexier. Mae Young was having babies.
Hand babies. Keibler's one of my favorite. I prefer what's going on now. And
absolutely.
Focus. But for the time, like, you know, and Trish Stratus, Rose, and Lita's my all-time favorite.
Oh, my God. Lita and Trish Stratus are my crushes. And I think I watched Trish Stratus and I was like, I think every little girl that watched wrestling wanted to be her. You know what? Her or Lita. Those were your two. You weren't looking at, like, no offense, you weren't looking at the Stacy Keiblers and the Tories going, oh, that's what I want to do.
Right.
You were like, no, I want to be the badass girl.
Well,
I want to be the girl that's jumping off the top rope. And that's
Lita comes doing moonsaults.
Exactly. That's where I think I fell absolutely in love with it. And I was like, oh, man, could I do that?
Well, and so especially look like Lita's a worker through too, but Trish was a fitness model and she was brought in during this, let's just a TNA era, right? That's what Vince was all about. And she,
not TNA wrestling,
not TNA wrestling
and what we actually think TNA
and what
is.
What they were presenting it. And she,
they were doing underwear matches,
lingerie mud bath matches and all this stuff. And Trish dug in and said, I rose above it. She rose above it. She's a Hall of Famer because of her work in the ring. And so that was something like that you looked at with Trish.
Absolutely.
And you
were like, I looked at it and I was like, I want to do that. Like, I want to be a badass. But I think I was going through like my real awkward phase in high school when I didn't feel pretty. I mean, that lasted into college.
I'm still in that phase.
You and me both. I just never thought I'd have the opportunity to. Mm-hmm. And then a few years ago, they put out like a Divas casting and they were still calling it Divas but they were getting ready to start the whole women's revolution.
Because it wasn't too long ago that they still had the term Divas around.
Yeah,
four
no,
or five
it,
years.
I think they got rid of it right after they named a show Total Divas.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah,
they put
out a call. And I sent in this tape that Johnny LaQuasto, our friend Johnny LaQuasto, helped
Johnny.
Me make.
Good old Johnny, yeah.
And I remember doing my tape. And I was just at the time when I was doing my tape, I was feeling really vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was just something that I'd wanted to do my entire life. And I just think that's where I was at the time. I'd been sick for like a year and a half with like some autoimmune, like immunity type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first time I was like looking more athletic and feeling better about my body.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I ready to actually do this and put myself back out there again? So I did the tape and I got to the end of it and they were like, why do you want to do this?
Mm.
And I said, I said, all my life, I think, and I think everyone feels this way at some point. All my life, I've felt like a heel when I was meant to be a face.
Oh, wow. That's good.
And I was like, I've always, like deep down, I've always meant to be a face. But I feel like it was right after I'd seen Wreck-It Ralph. So I feel like that's the mentality that I was in where it's like, I'm not bad. I'm good. You know, like.
You're looking in the mirror going, but wait a minute. I am a good person.
Yeah.
I should be, not that we all, I should be a hero, but you're like, I think I bring something good to this world.
Well, yeah.
And I've been treated as though I'm the villain.
Exactly. And I feel like a lot of that has to do with the space that you and I work in. You know, like I've done stuff on the internet and done stuff on television for over a decade now. Mm-hmm. And the thing is when you do that kind of work, you open yourself up for criticism and for people just to take shots at you. And now more than ever, I feel like, you know, with the state of the country and the state of the, you know, the presidency, the world is just a meaner place. And the internet is kind of the breeding ground for it. So
it's the test tube of viruses.
It really is. It's just a petri dish of shitty people growing, you know, but
one's got a hand, kill it.
But I don't know. Like, yeah. It was just saying those words out loud. I kind of teared up a little bit in my tape. And I asked Johnny, I was like, should I leave that part in?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, no, absolutely. You leave that part in.
That's the moment.
That was the moment that was kind of like my. And when they told me that the part of my tape that resonated with them the most is just that I was able to get so vulnerable on my tape. And it wasn't just like, hey, I'm pretty and I can do somersaults. Call me.
Yeah. You which know? I'm sure a lot are. Yeah, no, that's pretty powerful because the best wrestling characters, the best gimmicks are born out of some truth of who you really are. And they're in a blown up version of it.
Exactly.
So that's a good story. So you go down to Orlando?
I don't hear anything back for a couple weeks.
Okay, because that's life, right?
Yeah. And then I feel like, oh, they must not have liked my stuff, whatever. Right. And then I get an email. Hey, we'd love to have you come in and, you know, meet with us in person. You've gone to the next round. So you come in, you know, they want to see you in your professional attire. They want to see you in swimsuits as well, just to see if you're like in shape, you know?
Sure. It is part of the business.
It's part of the business. Yeah. Let's be real.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting there and I walked into the room and it was Triple H sitting at the desk and
time to play the game.
Exactly. But he's in a suit and like looking all professional. Cause he's, you know, he's Paul in that
he's
moment.
Paul, yep.
He's not Triple H. Yeah. And I just remember sitting there and I was like, this is so cool. Jen, please don't mark out right now. Yeah, don't mark out right now. Okay.
I loved you in the match. You're done.
I loved you. I was a big fan of the DX there.
Remember when you fought Henry O. Godwin in a mud match?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Yeah. But it was just one of those things where, oh my God, this is surreal and it's happening.
Right,
Every once in a while, I've had those moments in my life and that was one of them.
You're taking a big leap, getting rewarded with that moment.
So found out that I made it to the next round, which was actual training.
Getting in the ring.
Yeah, getting in the ring.
Had you been in the ring at this point to any degree?
No, but I'd done some high falls stuff and things like that in New York, which is actually when I broke my neck the first time.
The first time?
Yeah.
So we're getting to the second time.
If I have any advice for people, it's don't let a guy named Tex teach you how to fall on your neck.
Well, my old wrestling gimmick was Tex Tunney, so don't trust Tuck. Don't trust Texas. I only asked I out of curiosity, not out of any kind of because some people just you're like, hey, I want to try this out, and that might be the first time. Other people, you've been taking the bumps before, so I wanted to find out.
Yeah, I wasn't like doing it. I was like doing it in my backyard, like on a trampoline. But if you've never taken a bump, rings are not trampolines. There's rings, some give, but like not a lot.
It's a thin mat on a pile of wood and metal.
And there's some flexing, but there's no actual bounce to it.
Yeah, that's the first thing. It's hard to run. Those ropes are hard.
I love running the ropes. The ropes are my favorite part, though.
You get a bruise the first time you do it. Your back will be bruised by those hard ropes.
Your back will be bruised. Your side will be bruised underneath my arm because I'm short, you know, so to clear the rope.
I said, you're short. Yeah, no, exactly. I know what you mean. So I want to go to that first moment you get in the ring. I want to go to the first moment you're in a WWE training ring. I don't know who's in the ring. What's going on?
We all were in the ring. Like there was probably about 10 of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were probably about 10 of us that made it to that round. Some of them were former lingerie football players.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend CJ, who's still in the WWE, is Lana.
Right.
She was there. And she has like a really strong dance background. Uh-huh. So like I think her challenge during camp was making everything look more athletic. Because everything just looked so easy and fluid for her. And I'm like, you have to, can you make it look harder for the rest of us?
Could you come to the corner here? You're looking very elegant in the ring. We need you to look vicious, right?
I need you to look like a badass. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And there's another person who has worked really hard to say, no, I'm gonna be that vicious person. I'm not just this valet that comes out.
No.
I'm here to do it
she
as well.
She has fought tooth and nail for every bit of recognition she's got in that company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Good for her.
I mean, when you get opportunities like that, you have to fight for it, you know?
Absolutely have to.
But again, like amount of criticism she gets online. And I think it's hard because she went about wrestling because she got called up, obviously, as a valet.
Mm-hmm.
So she's had to learn, and it was before she really had a lot of wrestling training. So she's had to learn how to wrestle while people know who she is. And it's kind of how I relate to that with my stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
It's like trying to do stand-up when you have a semi-recognizable name is tough. Because people are going to just assume...
A lot.
A lot, exactly.
A lot.
Uh-huh.
Mostly negative.
Yes, exactly. And they just think that you should come in and be good at it already, when most people don't realize... A lot of the people that you consider good in comedy, they've been working on that craft for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years before you see them.
Lana, CJ, learning to work at that level is akin to me trying to learn to hit a curveball in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, you're going to play great in front of everyone for the first time.
That's like when Cody got his call up, and it's like the only people they would have him go out there and face would be like, all right, you're going to face Baumgartner. Good luck. I know you're cold. I know you're pinch hitting, but
yeah, he told me his first major league start. Yay! Against Clayton Kershaw.
Yes.
Boo! Yeah, but that's similar to that. So so you're not, you don't have 70,000 people watching you, but you're learning this craft that some people have just, blessed to have done it for 15 years or something before. You're like, got this love and passion, a story you want to tell, and you're in here for the first time. Take me to that exact moment. You afraid, terrified, you're like, no, I'm here for a reason. How does it go? How does the first bump go?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that hurt. I couldn't have done that right. And I'm like, no, you did it right. And I was like, it didn't feel like I did it right.
Tuck that chin.
Holy shit. Yeah. Like I broke a rib. No, I didn't break a rib, but I did break my neck again. And I just realized at that point, my body was made out of graham crackers and I just had no business actually in the ring. So,
gotcha.
You know, they still really liked my presence and my voice, and they wanted to try to find a way to use me. So they tried me on the desk for a while. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was like a chemistry issue or a space issue or whatever. You never know sometimes when you don't get gigs, if it's just, it could simply just be the way you look.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've sat in on enough like acting casting sessions and been readers to know that three people can give three amazing performances and they just have a certain thing they're looking for, and you'll never know what that is, and you'll never get an explanation for it. So it is what it is.
So, okay, let's go to that point then. You break your neck again. That ain't no walk in the park.
I had to get like a cortisone shot in my butt and all kinds of stuff.
I mean, that's half fun, but
I was like, I didn't fall on my ass. Why are we doing that there?
So this is you've put yourself out there, you hurt yourself, and then where's your mind go there? What do I do next? Do I want to come back? What's next for Jen at that point?
You know, I just kind of saw it as the universe telling me that it just wasn't my path.
Mm-hmm.
And I had also been like fiddling around with stand-up comedy. And I said, okay, well, obviously this is supposed to be my outlet.
We love a good fiddle in comedy, by the way.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Where I was just like, this is obviously not my path. And so I started really focusing on stand-up and giving it the attention that it deserved. Because you don't get better in stand-up unless you're on stage all the time.
Yeah.
And I know when I take time off to do other things, whether it's writing on a show or whether it's working at Schmodown, because, sometimes we are just inundated with matches.
Yeah.
Whenever I...
Four days.
Oh, my God. We have those coming up with Anarchy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you start getting inundated with that stuff, stand-up kind of takes a back seat, because by the end of the day, I'm just too tired to go out and try to make people laugh.
It's a tough life. When I finally walked away, it was like, I projected what would I be like if this was successful, and I didn't want that life.
Yeah.
I look at Ellis. Now, Ellis is a road warrior. Like, we love hotel life.
Yeah, but I think Ellis is one of the few that hasn't become like the sad road comic. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like when I work with him, I don't get the I'm sad and I hate my life vibes that I do from other friends of mine that are road comics.
Yes, and because Ellis has found great peace in his life, he's gone through great changes and a perspective shift. But I do know there's some nights he's told me about where he's buying Doritos from a dollar machine for dinner.
Oh my God.
Road.
That sounds pretty accurate.
But I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And if you've been around comedy enough, you can see that it tears some people up.
Yeah.
So I understand maybe you're looking around going, I don't want to be torn up.
Yeah. And I definitely feel that way. But also it feels like a very individual sport. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? When I enjoy working at Collider for Schmodown because I enjoy the environment I'm in. You know what I mean?
Teamwork.
I think that there's plenty of jobs out here in Hollywood that you could take just for a paycheck that you'd be miserable at.
Yeah.
And I don't ever feel that way when I walk into that office because I feel like there's a lot of camaraderie. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're all very supportive and it's a healthy work environment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to say that it's not without its issues, but I mean, every job is, but I genuinely feel when I walk through those doors that I'm around my family. When I walk into like the Comedy Store, while I get excited to see certain people in certain faces, it also feels very, high school sometimes.
It is. When I first started doing stuff at the Comedy Store in 2003, I had just finished the Groundlings, and sketch comedy is very, we're all in this together. Like
it's very inclusive. Yeah. It's a team sport. Yeah.
Your improv
stand up is totally different.
Is only as good as your partner. You make your part. And then I got to stand up and was like, get out of my way.
Yeah. It's, my friend gave me the best analogy for it. He goes, he's not a comic or anything, but he's like, stand up to me feels like you guys are like a bucket of crabs and you're just using each other to climb out of the bucket.
That's so true.
And I was like, that is, such
wise friend. Is your friend Yoda? Because that's true.
But I thought that was such an awesome analogy. Just a bucket full of crabs,
absolutely.
Angry little sad crabs trying to get out of this bucket and fighting to get out of this bucket.
I remember my friend Danielle Stewart when I said...
And we'll pull each other down.
Pull each other down.
Get out of the bucket.
What I told her, and I've said this before on the show, but I was like, I think I'm leaving stand-up comedy. And she says, what makes you think you're the one that's going to get out of here? Because we all want out of the bucket some way or another, it would seem. Though there's fun nights, so I totally understand that, and the coming you want kind of that support. It's a lonely island.
Yeah,
I mean that's not just a funny Sandberg sketch group. You know, it's a reality there. So about Schmodown too. What I find interesting too, when you came in, you were kind of an unknown quantity to that realm of the
world. Yeah. But I understood what Christian was trying to do and how it worked.
Yeah,
because of my background.
Because you love wrestling, because you can think on your feet. And you dug in your heels there too, because unfortunately in a lot of realms, a new person comes in and it's like, who's that?
Oh no, I got that.
Oh, you know, I'm saying that. You got that. I remember.
I got that and I was like, shh.
Yeah. Where do you find...
She's not as good as this person. Not as good as this person. How about you just shut up and let me find my own way?
Right. How about you find the new normal as a fan?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, and I understand.
Get used to it. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, and luckily, you know, Christian worked with me a lot on the stories. You know, he's always been really good with me in that respect, where we're always telling the story that we want to tell.
Yeah.
You know, we're always finding the story, because the stories aren't scripted. Mm-hmm. We have ideas, but the matches determine where the story goes.
It's a choose your own adventure.
And sometimes it ruins Christian's ideas.
Oh, I've been at the table. I've been at the table where the matches ended and he's muttered under his breath, oh, it's not what I wanted. You know, and not that he's not tearing down the other person or doesn't want the other person to win, but just like there's something, you know, we have ideas.
He had some brilliant idea.
Yeah.
So the outcome of the match.
It's a choose your own adventure novel.
Yes, 100%.
But yeah, you dug in your heels because you did face this weird little backlash in this weird little world.
Who's she?
Who's she?
Just got hired because she's pretty.
Right.
She's got boobs.
So,
Calm down.
And I apologize for those comments at the desk now. what drives you? What drives you to say shh?
You know, I just feel like with everything that I've gone through, and if you don't know my whole story... Mm. I was one of the girls, and we don't have to like go into it in depth, but just so people know, you can Google it for yourself. I was basically the original Me Too. Mm-hmm. I was one of the Me Too's,
you
know, I was Me Too before Me Too was a thing. I was Me Too soon, you know,
Me Too soon. Yes.
I was hashtag Me Too soon.
Yeah.
And,
A while ago now.
Yeah. It was over a decade ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it actually happened, and then it came out in the forefront in 2010, and basically I lost everything because people at the time weren't ready to hear that their heroes were pieces of shit.
Right.
Is what it came down to.
Right.
And I really had to endure months and months, and now it's stretched on to a decade, of dick jokes, of just online bullying, of death threats, from sports fans. The word fan is short for fanatic, mm-hmm. and I totally see that side of it now, you know? And I feel like Schmodown has the same kind of mentality because we have fans.
Yeah.
You know, like we've created this awesome community that 99% of the time it behaves itself, but there's going to be the casual few that like pop in just to stir the pot and say nasty things. And I just find that I don't react to it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing someone could write to me on the internet that isn't something that I've heard before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to tell me that I have not read in a decade about myself?
Before Twitter was a fire.
Yeah. My Twitter's been on fire since 2010.
Yeah.
But I just think that I had a different perspective than a lot of people at Schmodown. And I think a lot of the competitors are still learning how to navigate that world because you have to understand when you work in, as you know, when you work in this space, when you work on the wild, wild west that is the internet, you just kind of, you have to take the good with the bad. And if you're doing opinion stuff or just even playing a character, people are going to have opinions and they may not coincide with what yours are. And you just have to be okay with that.
Yeah. You have to,
and not take it personally and freak out every negative comment you get, because for that one negative comment, you may get 99 positive. Mm-hmm. And if you're so focused on that negative, you're just really going to suck the joy out of whatever it is you're doing.
It's Vivian and Pretty Woman. The hardest stuff is easier. The bad stuff is easier to believe.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And
look at you quoting romantic comedy.
Oh, come on. Pretty Woman. I saw 5 times in 1 day, Jen. Yeah. And it's a tough
That's
line.
What you binge watch during breakups?
During breakups, before I love Pretty Woman. I mean, Harry Met Sally. I think it's too complicated an issue to really dive in here. It's a fine line of what people.
But you asked how I get by.
Yeah, no. Of what people
ignore
deal
the
with
haters.
And that's how,
or confront them and shut them up.
Or you know, there's a part that we are playing. All of us playing a weird character online.
Don't get defensive.
Yeah, the character's name is Ken Knapsack.
Yes.
And
It's kayfabe. And I don't think a lot of people understand what kayfabe is.
Well, yeah, I get a little grumpy with Schmodown fans because, let's just say this, there's something called the gimmick. Gimmick is the storyline or work. Kayfabe is the protection of the gimmick.
Yes.
It's not the
gimmick. When you carry your storyline all over the place with you, that's kayfabe. Keep it kayfabe.
I produced bumper stickers that just said, I keep kayfabe. It's about 10 years ago. They didn't sell well, Jen. I took a bath on them. I gave one to Gangrel. He was like, oh, that's cool. That's the accomplishment of my wrestling career.
I've told everyone that my boobs are real. I'm keeping that kayfabe. Do you know what I mean? I will keep kayfabe about my cleavage forever.
Hired a guy to be a doctor. Like, they are real.
I mean, Kim Kardashian did it with her ass. So can't we all?
That's good.
There are no ass implants. No, they're injections, you idiot.
I get it.
Keep kayfabe.
And so you dug in. Now you are the standard, which is also this weird, silly world where it's like, all right, now everyone loves.
That's what Christian said to me the other day. He goes, Jen, I'm going to need you to train someone that knows how to do your job, because one day you're going to book something too big and I'm going to be screwed.
There's some truth to that.
You can't train someone to have a personality and to listen. Like, I think the most important part of what you and I do is we're good listeners.
Sure, Jessica. There's some truth to that. There is an innate ability to do some of this stuff. Not that you can't learn, not that you can't go to stand-up comedy class and learn how to construct a joke, but can you deliver the joke? Can you pay attention? I see you taking notes during the Schmodown matches.
Yeah.
You sit over on the side and you just kind of pull little notes down. Yeah, you could teach someone to do that, but to put that all together, I could give you the recipe to a great soup, Jen, if you don't know how to cook it or aren't afraid to try to cook it.
And add your own flavor.
And add your own Jen spice.
Yeah.
You know, a little sprinkle. Get it at Whole Foods. $17.99 a tiny bottle.
You know
it. But that's kind of true. But that's,
if you have Amazon Prime, it's cheaper now.
Yeah, I have the Amazon Prime credit card that gets me 5% cash back on purchases online from Amazon. It's changed my life. So, yeah, I know what he's saying. I know what he means. And just there's also this thing, too, where it's like, you show up, people are like, who's this? Who's that? Get her out of here. Get her hair. Oh, we like her.
To fight for their affection.
And then you got it. And now the next person comes along. They're like, we hate her. We love Jen. And it's just this weird repeating cycle.
It is.
It's like, hey.
But it's that way with wrestling too, you know?
Oh,
like I watch all my friends that come up through NXT and stuff. And I'm like, well, brace yourself. Oh, we hate this. This is a dumb gimmick.
Yeah.
This is this. No.
Yeah. Yeah, because
calm down, mouth breathers. I got in trouble for saying something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make that the title of the episode.
Calm down, mouth breathers.
Calm down, mouth breathers.
No, but I mean, I'm the same. I'm guilty of it too.
But you know? We all that it is kind of this weird human nature.
We're so adverse to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I sometimes. You know, I'll sometimes when you're wrestling or something like that, or even baseball, I'm like, "What? We're tracking exit velocity now. In my day, we tracked game-winning RBIs."
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
exactly.
It is kind of silly. It's human nature to not let ourselves be a little bit more open to what comes before us. Speaking of things you're open to, animals, dogs. You love animals. You are big. This is a charity that's close to your heart.
And I love furry things.
Furry things.
Which is why I married Cody.
He's a very furry little puppy.
He is.
The great little furry beard.
Yes.
Do you just grab it and go, scruff, scruff, scruff. Actually,
when he shaves his beard and FaceTimes me, I'm like, who the fuck are you? Why do you have my husband's phone?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know him without facial hair, so it's very weird for me.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is what's under there. And I was like,
put it back in the box. Put it back in the box.
I'm like, well, thank God you'll have a stubble by 4 p.m. today.
He and Hal Rudnick.
I'm just so not used to seeing him without his beard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love animals. I love animals more than I love people. And that's I think fair. It's because their enthusiasm and their love for us is so pure.
Has it been your whole life like that? Or you,
yeah.
I mean,
I grew up in a zoo. You know, at first we started off with no pets. And I think we got my first cat when I was in kindergarten. Until then I had just been raised with Dobermans.
Oh, nice. Sorry, I had an image of little Jenny Sturger sitting in a habitat with some elephants, just playing with some Legos.
I've never done elephants before. I've never had elephants, but I mean pigs,
yeah.
Guinea pigs.
Oh yeah.
Rabbits. I brought home a rat one day.
I used to have pet rats. They're great.
Yeah. They're pretty smart.
Yeah.
Hamsters are terrible.
Yeah.
My buddy Eddie has a great joke about that. He's like, we should call hamsters what they are, tiny tragedies. It's like they die every 2 years. It's like, you want to teach your kid about loss? Get him a hamster.
Get a hamster.
Hamsters are terrible. I watched one of my hamsters that we got from the pet store like a couple days later had babies and then ate them.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, that's a really hard thing to explain to like a 9-year-old what's happening, you know?
The parent is eating the young.
Yeah. My mom's like, why didn't I think of that? I mean, I've been raised with just animals my entire life. So when I came out here, I was on set one day and this makeup artist was telling me about this rescue that she worked with and she had started and I was like, yeah, if you ever need a foster. And then she didn't hit me up for like months.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden I get a phone call. And she's like, hey, it's an emergency. Remember that time you said that you would foster? I'm going to bring over some kittens if you're okay with that. And I was like, yeah, of course, bring them all by. She shows up and I'm like, that's a lot of meowing coming from that box.
Yeah.
It turned out it was 10 bottle baby kittens.
Wow.
And so for the next 10 days, I had to bottle feed them around the clock until they were weaned. Yeah. And they lived in my bathtub. Like they built like a little civilization in there.
Sure.
And
working society.
Yeah.
A cat mare.
Exactly. And I was like, look how peaceful their world is. And they had like a little giant pyramid in the middle, you know, that they would try. And like
communicating
after,
to the
yeah, exactly.
Sky.
After like 2 weeks, they learned how to climb on the top of the pyramid and try to jump out of the tub.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, now you get my whole bathroom. Thanks. So that's kind of how it all started. And
that's
then they talked me into joining the group. And it all snowballed from there, you know?
The foster, animal foster group?
Yeah. No, I'm actually a member of the rescue now. Like, I'm one of the official members.
Do you have to attend meetings?
Oh, yeah.
With a cat clipboard?
I don't have a
dog sticker?
No, I don't have
cat. Well, we need you to get it. That's a good bit. This is like, see,
we don't have that in the budget. We're a nonprofit.
You'll get there. Guys, donate. Jen needs a cat clipboard.
We have a Patreon.
Is it the Care Rescue LA?
Yes,
yeah,
it's patreon.com/CareRescueLA. Actually, Nick Mundy's helped us so much.
Mundy reached
Nick
out.
Nick Mundy, Emma Fife, Mark Andrako, Mike Carlson, Hal Rudnick. I can't say enough about these people because they
good folks.
Are such good people and they either adopt from us, they foster for us.
Let's be honest about Mundy. He's a little bit of a scoundrel, but.
Oh, shut up. You've never seen something cuter than Nick Mundy with kittens just crawling all over him. And it's so funny because I asked Delara at first.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, Delara, would you guys mind fostering for us? Because I knew she was a cat person. And she's like, yeah, I think Nick's just a little nervous. He doesn't want like hordes of of kittens in our house. We'll start off with one. And now Nick's like, bring me all of the kittens. All of the, and he'll send me pictures of just them crawling all over him.
He's a big cat of stuff. Yeah, he had reached out about that Patreon thing to go over some stuff with me on it. And I was like, that's a good idea. That's a good use for Patreon.
Absolutely.
Because we got to get Jen a cat clipboard.
Yeah.
We got to do that. And how... this is why, well, number one, I'm allergic to cats, fortunately. How do you not adopt every single one of these animals, Jen?
I've gotten really good about just being like, yep, here you go, bye.
Emotionally bye. Disconnecting from
I
a kitty.
I am. I'm emotionally, like, I'm like, okay, you've been here.
You have to.
You can go, bye.
My mom fostered a dog. She adopted it by the afternoon.
Mm-mm.
You know, mm-mm. Like. She was like, I'm going to foster this little dog. And
that's
I was like,
everyone's,
great.
That's everyone's first mistake. Yeah. And I just feel like that's when I know I'm okay to be doing this is I'm able to make smart decisions about like their health. And, you know, I have to make the bad calls sometimes when an animal's too sick for us to, you know, be able to help anymore. Yeah. I'm able to do that. And not to say that it doesn't hurt and it doesn't make me sad and devastate me on those days.
Sure.
But I'm not like... unrealistic about it.
You have to, for what you're trying to do, you have to.
I'm almost like a doctor in that respect where I'm like, I'm just kind of, I can remove myself emotionally from it and be like, I'm doing what's best for the animal.
Yeah.
That's always my priority when I'm doing rescue work.
Dr. Sturger Decker.
Yes.
Expert of cats and dogs.
It is harder to get into veterinary school.
It should be.
Than it is to get into be like med school.
I had an old employee of mine who for years was studying it.
Yeah.
And I used to joke with him, like, Fernando, how's sticking your hand into horses' butts going? And he'd be like, I'm taking that test next week.
Giving the horse the old ridge around.
How different kind of video.
Comes home, he gets kicked in the face.
How does this help? How does dealing with, I'm not saying necessarily you're a depressed person, but dealing with this tough industry and depression and failure, rejection, does having that kind of thing to pour your energy into, is that a good
Absolutely.
Balance?
Absolutely.
That help you?
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have something that takes the focus on myself because I have terrible social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I have PTSD, which I've actually been like diagnosed with. And it, no matter how much therapy I go through, there's just certain things that trigger me more than others. Mm-hmm. And one minute I'll be totally fine. The next minute I want to scream and throw things and cry hysterically. And having something to take the focus off myself and pour myself into, it's so funny how I'm able to compartmentalize my life and just, like I said, pour myself into something other than my job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like Hollywood is so selfish and so me, that being able to go, oh, there's things that need me. There's living things that are relying on me to save them. It just kind of puts everything in perspective.
That's important. That's important. Because in the industry, it is what it is. We're all here. We're all in this because we have some level of ego or a hole to fill
ego
in our souls.
Or we're using art to fulfill a part of ourselves.
And that's going to be what it is. But that's, I think, the number one key to battling some of the tougher mental illnesses is forcing yourself to get outside of yourself and put energy into something else. And so it seems like
get a
hobby.
Involve yourself in the community.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing I can tell people to do.
Yeah. Nick Mundy's hobby is trying to invest himself in me as a foster dog. But for you, so that's what I other than just the love, but it's like, it's not easy. Like volunteer at an animal shelter is great because your vision is I'm going to hold puppy dogs all day, but then a dog's sick, a dog's got to go, a dog's got animal, you know, and so you're signed up for a lot of other things, but Dable, it sounds like you have just really invested in these little creatures and also this cause. That's great.
Absolutely. I mean, and there's trying days with it too. Mm-hmm. You know, you can almost guarantee, you pick a dog up from the shelter, you might get poop in your car, you know, like that kind of thing.
I mean, that's also me at the Del Taco drive-thru, but it's all right. And let's highlight where people can support that on Patreon. It is Care Rescue LA.
Yeah, patreon.com/CareRescueLA.
And what are
and
some
all
of
the money
perks?
Is going right now. We're still working on what the perks are going to be. Yeah. I'm sure we'll have some merchandise to give away. You can help us name the animals in our care. We have a private Instagram.
Yeah,
Mundy and I are going to do monthly chats. Not just about animal stuff, but just me and Nick Mundy being hilarious.
I want to watch a cat cast.
You want to watch a cat cast?
A cat cast.
You know, we do comedy shows at a cat cafe.
Yeah.
We do such absurd stuff.
There's a couple cat cafes.
Cat cafes.
Cat cafes.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
You basically go in, and if you don't know what a cat cafe is, it's basically a room with 30 cats in it. And you go in, they give you a Wi-Fi password, they give you some coffee, some tea, and you just hang out with the cats.
There's one on Melrose I'm trying to get to.
Crumbs and Whiskers?
Yeah. I think, yeah that's the one. I think I'm
Crumbs and Whiskers. There's Cat Cafe Lounge over by UCLA.
Okay. That's on my list of things to do. So Care Rescue LA, mm-hmm. support. I got to get over there too. I forgot you guys. I didn't know you guys went live yet because Nick had been posting it there.
We just went live the other day when we did a movie fights. With Emma Fyfe,
great.
Mike Carlson, and Nick Mundy. And great. It's hysterical. There was a kitten and puppy cam. And so if you need something to make your day better, nothing will make you happier than trying to watch Nick Mundy try to argue the plot of Mother with puppets and the kitten cam and puppet cam.
Yeah, I've seen some stills of Dan Merle holding an animal.
He was just in his zone holding that puppy.
It's science. You pet an animal, you start feeling better.
Yeah.
It is science. That's what we have, even if it's a snake, which, there. Enclosed.
Yeah, no.
Not for me either.
Not for me either.
Ferrets.
It needs to be furry.
Dogs, cats, if I wasn't so allergic to them. As we close here, Jen, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a little bit about love. I was able to attend your wedding. Thank you again for inviting me.
No problem.
A lot of fun. Loved
it. I still haven't sent out thank you cards. Sorry about that.
Your appearance here is thank you enough. Cody did try to drop you on your head, but we forgive him.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was the third time I broke my neck. if you haven't seen the video, don't try the Dirty Dancing lift after drinking all day.
Yeah.
I think he started around...
Because he's got the chops.
3-4 o'clock.
Yeah, he's got the chops. He can dance. He's got the arms.
But that overhead press was lacking. I think it's the lack of shoulder development in baseball players. You got to keep it loose, you know?
Because the squats are good.
Yeah.
The squats are good.
Legs are sturdy, but the overhead press.
How nice is it to have this just inbuilt support that you guys found each other?
I mean, look, everyone doesn't tell you the first year of marriage is going to be the toughest year of your life. Because... anything that was like a tiny little disagreement you had when you were just boyfriend, girlfriend, or fiancés, that comes to the forefront because you can't end any argument by going, "Well, I'm leaving."
It's on the marquee.
Where are you leaving to? The couch? Because we're married now, so I'm leaving is much more difficult. You're in it to win it.
Yeah,
and I just think people need to have more realistic expectations when it comes to the first year of marriage. Mm-hmm. Like if one more person asks me like, "Oh my God, so how's married life?" I'm like, it's great. I love him, but like, I'm sure there's days when he's like, "Oh my God," like where he loves me, but he'd also like to shake the shit out of me. Uh-huh. You know,
I get you.
But I mean, it's just what happens when you find someone that's so similar to you.
At least he's got some road games built into his life.
Of course. Well, Cody, but Cody's always said from the day we met and from people meeting him, they're like, "Oh my God, she's just basically a prettier version of you." He's like, "I know. It's like having sex with a prettier version of myself. It's the ultimate form of my narcissism." You know, so, but us being so similar, we do butt heads sometimes.
Sure.
So it's just learning how to effectively communicate better and grow and... you never stop. You know, marriage is just a part of personal growth, and saying, "All right, you're the person that I want to take this journey with. And we're in it, you know, for better or for worse." And if you're married to a minor league baseball player, sometimes it's worse a lot. Yeah. So just the same as him being married to a aspiring comedian and writer.
I that's the answer I wanted, Jen. That's the answer. The honest answer.
In it to win it.
In it to win it. Tough. That's the biggest...
and we are, we're absolutely still in love with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, you could be, that's the thing, you could be both.
Yeah, exactly. You can, but it's okay to get frustrated. If you just got married and if things aren't trying, then odds are someone's pushing stuff down or you went to marital counseling beforehand. We were just too busy to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I highly recommend it because apparently it resolves a lot of the things that we fight about now. But... I mean, being married sounds so scary, but it really isn't.
Aside from
almost breaking my neck, it really hasn't been that scary. But
your love it should be big enough to take the arguments.
Exactly. And that's when you know it's real.
Yeah.
Is at the end of the day, we still love each other and we still support each other's dreams. And that's tough to do.
Unless he shaves his beard.
Yeah, he can't be doing that.
I understand. That's why I still have my gray beard right now.
Yeah.
it's gone, someone gets mad. Jen, we covered a lot.
And we did.
You are open and honest and fun, and I always loved being on air with you. We had a lot of fun on Schmodown, Inside Schmodown. We don't do it enough.
We don't.
So thank you for coming in.
We need to call a match together.
Let's do that. I think we only, one of the big ones where I popped in for the second half, but it was Harloff was there. So let's kick him out.
Let's kick him off.
You and me in the booth, and we'll have some fun.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
Hey, I appreciate it. I'm
there for the 7-Eleven references.
It's not just a reference, it's a way of life. there's two close to me if you want a good choice. I appreciate it. I appreciate getting to know you. You are an exciting, wonderful presence to have around. But I think for me personally, getting to know the layers has been one of the best parts of working with you because
Ken. Right back at you.
I'm not that bad of a scoundrel. I'm just tired. That's what I tell people.
I'm very tired.
I'm always tired.
Yeah. I think it's our generation. We just try to do too much. We overbook ourselves.
Might be right. My dad's, worked a hard day at work as an engineer.
But he comes home and goes to bed.
Yeah, well, he comes home, just veggies out.
And chills. We don't do that. You got to network. You got to do this. It's
11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, what have I done today to advance my career?
Yeah.
The answer
varies every single day.
And it's not a woe is me for anyone listening. I love this. I love it. But yeah, you do kind of feel exhausted. And then when you wake up with the back pain I have and probably the neck pain you have,
What weed is for.
Yeah.
Why do you think I work in California and not New York?
For me, it's the whiskey. So you probably got the leg up on me there. But I appreciate you coming in, taking the time because you are busy. It means a lot. Tell everybody where they can find you, follow you, where All In is again. If you guys are wrestling fans or even if you're not, check it out. It's exciting stuff.
It's going to be so fun. Even if you are new to wrestling, I feel like this is the best way to be introduced to it. Check it out. It's going to be All In the 1st?
September 1st, yeah.
And I'm doing the press conference the day before on Friday night. It's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'm doing it in Chicago. It's going to be a blast. And then we have the live event for the Schmodown coming up.
September 8th.
We still have a few tickets left, so get them.
I will be there. I will be involved.
I mean, that's reason enough. I'll be there, too.
You'll be there, too?
I'll be slightly prettier than you.
Only slightly, because this beard's looking sharp.
So we have the live event coming up in September. It's going to be dope.
Yep.
Always a blast. If you've never been to a live event for Schmodown, highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very similar to the wrestling world that I love living in. And then you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram. All of it's the same. It's at Jennifer Sturger. And the link there is for the Patreon for my nonprofit. And it is 501c3, so you get to write it off on your taxes and tell your accountant you're a good person.
I love that. That sounds so adult. Taxes and writing things off.
Right?
But beyond that, you're supporting a good organization. And if you're local,
you might get a sticker.
Right, you might get a sticker. And if you're local at all and anything, reach out. And if you want to foster an animal or something like that, look into that too.
Thank you, Ken.
And if you want to foster Nick Mundy, that's understandable too. He is.
Oof, you better have a big bath.
That is it. That is it for the Knapsack Files this week. You guys know where to find me. The podcast is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Yeah, tune in. All the places where podcasts are found. Got a Patreon page, patreon.com/Knapsack Files, if you want to support there. But go support the cats first, then come to me second. And then follow me on Instagram and Facebook, but also YouTube. Motivations with Ken are now up and running on YouTube, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That is it for Jen. For Cody, who I'm sure is listening and looking in the mirror right now and going, I am damn good looking. For all the cats and dogs that need a good home. We'll see you next time here on the Knapsack Files.